Have you enjoyed listening to the CrowdPaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some CrowdPaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to CrowdPaw.org/merch, CrowdPaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your CrowdPaw look.
Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Ferranby, aka CrowdPaul, and welcome to CrowdPaul Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. First off, if you're only listening to this episode, I want you to know that you can also watch it on YouTube. But regardless if you're listening or watching the show, I really appreciate your support. Today, I have the honor of having Lynn Wong on the show. She is the leader's coach. She leads restless trailblazers to gain energy and freedom to do the work they love. So that was a brief introduction about you, Lynn. But how about you introduce yourself the way you would do it?
I would say the same thing. I guide, I lead trailblazers to gain energy and freedom to do the work they love.
All right. So maybe I introduced you a little too well, but I guess who is Lynn beyond being the leader's coach?
Yeah. Global, multi-passionate, happy wife, cat mom, friend, reader, contemplator, and recently, author.
Ooh, author. I like that. Because of the last thing you mentioned, let's talk about that. Author. What does it mean to be an author? What was the book you wrote? Just share with the audience.
Yeah, it's a long journey to get here. And in my excitement, as I'm looking around the screen,
I was going to say, do you have the book?
Yes, I have the book, and I'm not sure why I dropped it. But yeah, I'll find the book in a minute. But I got to be a co-author in the book Lead Hership Unveiled.
Lead Hership
Unveiled.
Okay.
And it's really about women leading with impact. And 20 of us were brought together by the vision of Linda Fisk, CEO of Leadership Global, and curator Kathy Dirksen, CEO of Inspired Tenacity. And they brought together 20 women from around the world, multiple continents, to share their leadership stories.
That's incredible. 20 women, multiple continents.
Yes.
So go ahead.
No,
I was going to say, I know you're the leadership coach, now an author. You mentioned cat mom in there. We were talking a little bit about your cats a little bit before we started recording. I guess, what got you so passionate about leadership to be able to be a part of this book and then even become a leader's coach as well?
Yeah, my experience with leadership is quite common to a lot of people who've gone the college and white collar professional route, you know, working in companies where there were managers. And then as you move up the ranks, you start to appreciate managers versus leaders. And some can do both and some specialize in one versus the other. And so leading was intuitive. And I made a leadership commitment probably in my 20s to say, I actually want to move up the leadership ranks and go from leading pen and paper and my projects to people, to functions, to then someday an office. And I just wanted to do all that. It seemed like such a cool responsibility to get to rally other humans to accomplish important things, big things. And it's just so much fun and so meaningful to see not just other people grow and expand, but also myself in the process as I stepped into those roles.
Yeah.
When I transitioned out of corporate a few years ago, the redefinition, if you will, or the unlearning and then the expansion of the concept of leadership became very important. And my inspiration to write a chapter in the book came because I wanted to celebrate my growth and a milestone in my leadership journey. There's something very real about putting pen to paper, thoughts to paper, and printing that is quite different from speaking. There's something permanent yet timeless about writing. And I was ready to share my story, my journey of personal leadership from burnout to breakthrough. And I wanted to do my part to give back into the world of authors and writers who also whose writings have inspired my journey and continue to do so.
That's really incredible. Talk about from burnout to breakthrough. I think burnout is something that's becoming all too common for we're in a busy, hyper-focused world, all these different things. I guess, talk to me more about what you've experienced with burnout, and I'm sure what you're helping different leaders with burnout as well.
Yeah. You know, it used to be simply a case of overwork. You know, too many things to get done, not enough time, and then the inevitable sacrifice of your physical well-being, your mental well-being, and thinking that short vacations, long vacations can fix it. But I learned, you know, a few years ago that it's more than that. That burnout is not just a case of the overwork. It's also related to underfulfillment. And it's a guilty privilege.
Yeah.
That leaders can get trapped in. There is a high tendency for people who identify passionately as servant leaders to suffer from burnout of the underfulfillment kind, which shows up when you feel trapped. Trapped in success, trapped in responsibility, and kind of stuck. Like the stakes are so high, you don't really know how to get off the treadmill. You know? You just keep running. And I suppose if your time is not up, then something magical happens. Your body will take over and it will tell you to take a break and listen deeply. Because the little breaks that you've been taking, but not listening when you're on those breaks, they kind of catch up to you. But the body is amazing. And just as the body, you know, will cause you to pause, and a pause is essentially a break in continued activity, it will then also bring you back to health if you listen.
Tell me more about listening deeply, like listening in those moments when you're pausing. I feel like, I think I know what you mean, and I'm trying to think from like the audience perspective that we know about trying to work-life balance and taking breaks, but this listen deeply has me curious.
Yeah. You know, listening is such a powerful skill that requires practice, right? Because our go-go-go culture has us listening for the key point, right? Listening for the bullet points, listening for like the bottom line. That's good, right? But as a leader, you also know that you have to practice the skill of listening to listen, not listening to reply, right? And that is in the category of what I call generous listening, where your whole body, like, it's present. You are not looking at your watch or texting on your phone. Like, you are physically there listening to the verbal and nonverbal communication that the person is sharing with you. And then listening deeply is the courage to listen to that inner voice, that inner knowing that I know everyone has met before in their life. It comes from a place of strategic stillness, you know, where whether you use your breath, or the moments where you just wake up, that listening is really special and extremely important the higher up the ranks of leadership you go and in the 24/7 nonstop information age that we're in now.
Yeah. So I really like that you mentioned that the distinguishing between like the generously listening, which I think a lot of times we're listening to respond, not to just to understand. And then even the inner deeper listening, like listening to your inner man, what inner woman, whatever it is. Like for me, I'm a person of faith. I like listening to like the spirit inside of me. And I think it's something that's not always done because we don't feel like we have the time to do it or we don't value it. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, it's really the source of true power. You know, some of the analogies I offer my clients when we work is this idea of power versus electricity. right? Like when there's a electricity shortage, like there's a fuse, right? For as long as you have your heartbeat and your breath, you are powered up. You have power. Right? Mm-hmm. And everyone has power, whether you're like 2 months old or 30 years old or 60 years old. You always have that. And that is your first clue to that inner power. And unless you practice, you won't hear it, you know, but that practice happens as soon as you give yourself permission. You know, you take the choice that is always yours to take. And I found that in my work as the leader's coach, because the air gets so thin when they rise to the ranks and the responsibilities get so big, right? Because it is that simple. It's almost like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, a lot of my work is listening deeply, reflecting when it feels like they need a nudge.
That's really good. Is that, I guess, as a leader's coach, you come in and you're helping these leaders. What is one of the biggest challenges you see with these leaders? Because I even like how you put it. You said that the air is thinner up there as they rise through the ranks, that they're not really coming up for air. They're not really taking it all in. I guess what is the thing that you help them with the most? Is it really the reflection piece, the inner listening piece, or I guess what's the first step?
The trailblazers that I work with move so fast. They haven't paused to integrate everything that it has taken to arrive at that place. You know, I'll give you an example. Like, you know, sometimes you can come into a business meeting where your body is in the meeting room, right? But your mind is somewhere else. And you might be like sending quick texts under the table, right? And so it's called multitasking, and often it's appreciated. But when we exist in really highly compartmentalized spaces and we don't recognize that wherever we are, there we are, we actually miss out on a level of power. And in working with these leaders, helping them to recognize that as they go up, their unique ability is key to their mastery, which requires them to go inward versus chronic comparison, you know, and it's inevitable, right? Because the part of the leader, the manager's responsibility is to check out the competition and stay ahead. But if you don't have that quiet inner confidence to say that, you know, you have a seat at the table, you have a space in this world, and what you're offering is deeply unique. Like it's an inner knowing that helps you know that, wow, that competition's really good, but then you're looking at it as admiration versus competition. And then you come back and redirect all of your energy, right? Your body, your heart, your mind, your spirit, yours first, then your team's, to really unlock that unique combination that only you and your teams have. Nobody else does, you know. That's hard because the path up there has been built by pacing along others, you know? So to suddenly say like, yeah, my unique combination of strengths is what's going to, you know, take us to the next level is such a strange concept.
Yeah. I'm just thinking like different people I've talked to, even sometimes myself, I catch myself doing it. It's really easy to look at other people as benchmarks of what to do, what you're not doing, what you need to achieve. And not go in first so that what comes out, it flows out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that first thing is recognizing like when you come alive and integrating all of your strengths, like acknowledging and integrating all of your strengths, right? And to keep moving forward from a place of because you want to.
Absolutely. So I'm thinking for, because we talked about kind of the higher level leaders. How about some of the people who are just starting off as leaders, or maybe they don't even know, if they don't really consider themselves leaders yet. Like they're in a management leadership position, but they're still kind of like getting their feet under them. Can they leverage some of this too?
Absolutely, because leadership is a choice, not a title. You know, and I'm sure in your experience, you've heard a lot of people say that. And it really is true. You know, it begins by being consistent from the inside out, where who are you when no one's watching? You know, are you in alignment with your values? Are your actions in alignment with your values? And do you have integrity? Right? Integrity is not just your word is your bond. It's also about wholeness. Right? What you take in to your belly or your mind and your heart, right? Your diet of information, your diet of fruits and vegetables and other good stuff. What are you taking in? What are you processing? Affects what you're giving out. Right? So I wish I was more aware of leadership from a holistic perspective. You know, your body, your heart, your mind, your spirit. Earlier on in my career, I wish I didn't have to physically, like, you know, burn out, break down to meet it.
Yeah.
But I suppose I wouldn't have learned it any other way. So I'm a little stubborn like that.
Yeah. Like sometimes you have to go through it to learn it. I guess, are you comfortable sharing, like, what did, when you say burnout or breakdown, what did that look like for you to come to that point?
It was, you know, physical exhaustion. It was too many Sunday scaries, you know, that growing sense of dread. And it was confusing because I loved the people I worked with. But this time around, no amount of vacation seemed to be able to fix. And one day, you know, as I thought with, so I'm in my mid-40s, so my weight started to pick up by a couple pounds. And I was just thinking, okay, this is, you know, just midlife. This is what it is. They call it aging. Although, like, from the day we're born, everybody's aging. But thanks to marketing, we call it youth, right? Growing up. Yeah. So I could just kind of, you know, kept parking it to the side. But one day I realized that the hair loss I experienced was super serious. So I had a bald spot about the size of my fist, like right here. And all I did was flip the part to cover it. But you don't just get a bald spot, man or woman, overnight like that. And somehow I did. But what was crazier was I ignored it. I just covered it up. That was big sign number one. And, you know, thanks to that, was it the Oscars that Will Smith defended his wife?
Yeah, the Oscars.
And then, you know, I was like, oh, she has alopecia. I guess I have that too. Let me just do some reading, you know? I was still kind of chill about it, surprisingly. And then one day soon after, I just could not get out of bed. Maybe about, I don't know, 5-6 months later, I could not get out of bed. And it was strange because I didn't have a fever. I was simply like exhausted beyond words. And I just had this knowing, like, today is going to be the beginning of the end. I was exhausted, you know, called a mentor, talked to my mentor, got his support to basically go ahead and cancel my travel plans to be in New York for some leadership meetings I had planned to be. I'd never missed a leadership meeting in my life. And I went back to bed after securing an appointment to see a doctor at the end of the day. And when I got to the doctor's, she said, yeah, I'm prescribing a week of rest. Take the week off and rest. And then, of course, blood work and all of that stuff. It was a really strange feeling. But then it's almost like your body goes on autopilot and it takes you to where you need to go to pace back. And it also made me recall the time that, so six months, a few months prior to that, discovering that bald spot, when I had a severe case of COVID. And I knew I wasn't going to die, but somewhere in the middle of the 4 days of about wanting to cough up my lungs nonstop, there was a very interesting question that like started to show up. It literally was, why am I still here? I've already like checked all my boxes. I've completed everything I thought I wanted to do. Like, if life could take me, maybe someone else could have their mom or their grandma back. Like, I am complete. Like, why am I still here? And, you know, like all of that like started to come back in that week of rest.
So it all just came back up.
Yeah. And so it's sort of a, well, work on the question.
Well, that's really powerful. Thanks for sharing that. Because I think we talk about burnout a lot. We talk about all these different things, but then we don't always know the signs of what it looks like, especially with that extreme exhaustion where you can't even get out of bed. And then I can't even imagine for someone that's as driven as you, all the stuff you do, when your doctor is prescribing you a week of rest, how do you even go about doing that? Because I feel like that's not the most natural thing to do when you're used to doing things.
Oh, yeah. No, you immediately go to like beating yourself up. You're like, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I have no fever. Like I'm COVID free. Like what's wrong? Then you immediately start to blame, right? And learning to rest was just a whole new vocabulary, because on the outside, to the outside world, everything looks fine. Right. And the leadership in the moment is very clear that it's time to work on getting back to healthy. And in my experience and in my practice, you know, the body goes everywhere. The mind tells it to. The mind likes to think it's boss, right? But it's the body that actually makes it happen. Right. And the body's super patient. But the connection with the body is actually what allows all those amazing, great things to happen. So when the body has had enough of disrespect, it will let you know. Then you get a choice, right? To enjoy it or disrespect it and pay the price again. And in the path to return to physical health, physical wellness, I discovered then the other components, the other dimensions of emotional health, of mental health, of spiritual health, that all come together to make you who you are, even though I've never deliberately schedule time, you know, like today is spiritual health day, today is mental health day. Like, you know, you just don't. You know, to the maybe younger listeners out there who are beginning in their professional lives, the availability of health and wellness information, the acknowledgement of well-being, the distinction of necessary, valuable work that may not get paid, that is still important. All that is now made available thanks to technology. And active mentors like yourself. This is a really great time to get a strong foundation of personal leadership, to then be of consistent, sustainable, and inspiring leadership to others.
That's really good. There's the whole idea of personal leadership. I've heard it said that the hardest person to lead is actually yourself. It's because I'm sure you've experienced this too, and people listening, is that sometimes you will tell a friend will come to you for advice and you'll give them great advice. But if you think about it, like, are you doing the advice that you gave your friend, even though it's great advice? Because it's a lot of times it's not the fact that we don't know what to do. It's the execution piece, is we make excuses or we don't do it for whatever reason. Maybe it's as simple as the fact that we're not pausing enough to understand what we're doing isn't the right thing.
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipal.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
Or sometimes we just don't feel like we have the discipline to do it. But until we take the time to slow down, you're just not going to know either way.
Yeah, for sure. So as an active and seasoned coach, Paul, how do you stay healthy? How do you recharge to be at your best?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So I would say a good way I do that is sometimes I go through seasons where I'm not coaching anyone because of the fact I'm doing a lot of other things in addition to coaching. A lot of people see the stuff I'm doing on the podcast, but I also still work full-time as an engineer along with coaching and lead a nonprofit. And so you may ask yourself, how do you do all those things? And then I don't do all those things at the same time. I have different seasons for it. And I focus in on different things And you talked about learning what it means to rest and slow down. And I am definitely in the middle of that. I would say I'm much better than I was if like this point last year or even the year before. I've been intentional working towards it, taking the time to rest and not do things. And it's really making sure that I'm not beating myself up about things, because I have so many ideas and goals and things I want to do. But then, like, to your point, you say that the mind wants to do things, the body's in control. And I can sense when my body is like, okay, you are not either not sleeping enough or you have too much on your schedule right now. You slow things down. I'll say I'm not perfect at it, especially with the nonprofit. At least I have a team that helps with that. So I'm able to lean on the team, or sometimes we're just doing a little bit less. But it has to be, for me, it's super intentional about, okay, there's this opportunity. I could be doing it, but I can't, or I should, I shouldn't, in order to prevent myself from getting to a place that could be of no return.
Yes, yes. Oh, thank you for sharing. That reflection was inspiring.
Thank you.
I think coaching is such energetic work. I underestimated it. It is very different leading and coaching and mentoring in a corporation and doing it full time. And it's the mind doesn't seem to understand it, but somehow the body gets it. And so hearing that it is important to be intentional, that you can do a lot of things, just not everything at the same time. And to have those seasons where you're not coaching.
Absolutely. Definitely a work in progress. Like, CredoPaul is at 5 years now, but it's taken different paths, seasons, turns over the years. I know we were talking earlier, I was doing more so specifically just coaching and then a little bit of speaking. The podcast stuff, honestly, is the newest part of it. It's the part where the most people see now, because podcasting, I think, is more in the forefront. Whereas the stuff I was doing earlier, not everyone would have seen the different groups and stuff I was talking to, or the coaching is a really kind of like intimate space. So unless the client wants you to talk about it, like usually people don't know you're a coach unless you tell them you're a coach. And unless the client is comfortable sharing, like they don't know who your clients are either. So.
That's right. Yeah. There's a season for, like, I also like to describe myself as a story keeper and occasionally a storyteller. But I have recognized that it is important as part of my growth as a coach to tell my story and at the pace that honors what I need. You know, it's really easy to get caught up in teaching as a coach. And that in your, as you know, is a different skill set, right? And so one of the ways I know a client and I are not meant to be is when they're looking for something from me. Like, what do I get? You know, I coach in a very stripped down, simple model. I have a simple framework that I use. I do a lot of listening because that's where the work is. And we only use tools and assessment where it makes sense and if relevant. So if they're counting on me for pre-recorded videos or lots of PowerPoint, then I'm not their coach.
Yeah. No, I think that's maybe I'm biased, but I'm on the same line with you. I feel like that's the best way to coach, because it's really, you're unlocking the potential that's within the client and then the powers within the coaching relationship in itself. And I think a lot of times there's misconceptions with coaching and that it's coming specifically from the coach, but no, you're there to unlock what's in that person. And you can draw from your own experiences when it makes sense and ask for permission to do that. But I think honestly, within the coaching relationship, like you're talking maybe like 30% of the time, because you're really listening and drawing out from the client and they're sharing and ideating and you're kind of piecing things together. Because in that sense, in the coaching relationship is oftentimes the only stillness the client has, because they're ongoing, consistent.
Yes. Yeah. Thinking about the audience that you've been attracting, in retrospect, I would also recommend investing in personal enrichment for those young leaders to invest in a coaching course. And it can be with a tool or assessment that they're very drawn to, like Clifton Strengths, like what you have with Maxwell Leadership. Or I am probably a little happily biased, integrative nutrition, holistic health as part of their skill building. And those, I didn't see it, didn't need it at the time because I've always been pretty much blessed with good health, you know, until my crash, is that the skills, the knowledge to take care of your body, your heart, your mind, and your spirit is actually a lifelong investment. You know, the Six Sigma doesn't help unless you're business coaching your client, or really that should be called business consulting.
Yeah.
Right? The PowerPoint skills are not as relevant as understanding when you're hangry. Is it also because you forgot to drink water?
Right.
And I worked for the world's largest teams before I realized some of the fundamentals of there is a reason you should chew your food before it goes into your belly, because the enzymes in your mouth break down the food to prepare your stomach to efficiently continue to process it to take the nutrients out. If you get lazy and you inhale your food, then your stomach has to do what your mouth didn't do. And if you're feeling uncomfortable, that's probably it. And you're like, it's so logical, you know?
Never thought of that.
Or drinking water. I know a lot of people hate drinking water, but we're like 70% water. Like, how else will you function? Your brilliant mind can't work, you know? Or something as simple as drink water before your coffee, your first cup of coffee, if you drink coffee. You know, just little things like that. I find these things out because of the work I do now, and I'm, you know, constantly laughing at myself that I literally had to go lose hair, you know, to learn these things, to keep my being sound so that my mind can keep having more fun. And so, yeah, for the young leaders, taking care of their well-being from a place of personal leadership and integrity, and then, of course, adding on all the skills that help them get from where they say they are to where they want to go.
That's really good, especially the little things that you talk about. Because I think sometimes it can feel overwhelming. It's like, oh, I'm doing, like, where do I start? What am I supposed to do? Maybe just start by drinking some water. Like, that might be the best place to start. I think it's really easy to forget to drink water, drink enough water. I know some people, you can get on the other end about like how many gallons of water you need or all that stuff. But we often, you just start small, start simple, and go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that's good. What is one thing you would, maybe not one thing, but I know you talked about transitioning from like more the corporate side of things to what you're doing in your business right now. Is there anything you would do differently with that transition or anything that you learned?
I discovered the power of forgiveness in a bigger, broader sense, that forgiveness is actually about creating space within us versus others. So forgiveness to create space where you acknowledge that something, an event perhaps, didn't go the way you had wanted it to. That, and of course in interaction, you know, it didn't go the way you want it to. And forgiveness is about acknowledging that moment and then letting go of all the stress you continue to carry, to the point where you forgive yourself for not being ready to forgive yet. But that grounds your awareness, because awareness can just kind of come by, right? But when you take that baby step from awareness to then acknowledgement, forgiveness helps. And then from acknowledgement to acceptance, right? Forgiveness also helps, because then you start to entertain the possibility of, what if everything is always happening for you? And that question is really big. It's really fun. And sometimes you can't meet it directly. So that awareness, that forgiveness is not about the other person. It's actually about you and the space within you. Really, really helpful.
Wow. I think that's huge. Now, like, My wheels are turning. That's why I paused for a second with the forgiveness piece. Only because there's a pretty big event last year that I had to walk through some forgiveness. And I was thinking about it because it was kind of that transition you mentioned from like the awareness piece to the acknowledgement piece to how it's working, how it worked for you. And I think I'm closer or really at that point where I understood how it worked for me. It kind of like opened more time and it just allowed me to do more and also experience more rest as well.
Wow, that was powerful.
It's a work in progress for sure. So.
Yeah. I wonder if it's also your experience that the more like skilled you are as a coach, the more you actually have to do the work yourself. You hear that?
Yeah. Agreed. Because it's like, oh, I've been helping people with this. Like, oh, now I have to do it. Oh, shocker.
What are some of your favorite analogies in coaching as you guide your clients?
Favorite analogies? I don't know if I have a favorite analogy. Not one that comes front of mind. I think it's really just what's happening in the moment. But I definitely think of success more like a journey as opposed to a destination. I don't know if this qualifies, but because I think a lot of times people are like, okay, like I'm going to achieve this and I'm like, then what? And then I'm going to achieve this and then what? But it's like, if you think about it, you just keep doing things until you die. So it's like, if it's just success as a destination, then you're just waiting until you die. And I think it's more than that. So it's being intentional about enjoying the journey that you're on as opposed to only these milestones. The milestones are great. Having goals are great, but make sure that you're enjoying them. And for me, that's something I have to tell myself all the time, is to celebrate the small wins along the way. Because I'm the type A person that is, this happened, okay, that's the next thing. Oh, that happened, what's the next thing? And the last couple of years, I've been more intentional about, okay, I'm actually going to pause and celebrate. Like, I'm doing a lot of things. These are great things. People will be like, oh, you're doing all these things. But I'm thinking about all the things I want to do, I haven't done, don't have time to. And so it's the balance.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're so right. And it resonates. I think the journey really matters. And it's in the journey that we can be present, right? Because the destination is ultimately the same for everyone. And so the journey is deeply unique. And the more we choose to be present for the journey by listening to ourselves and having those healthy boundaries where we can say, this is good for you, not me, or this is not necessary, the more fun we'll have enjoying the journey.
That's really good.
Yeah. I've been having a lot of fun with butterflies versus lobster analogies in my work. You know, the butterfly one, I think a lot of people are really familiar, right? You go from fat caterpillar to inside this sticky thing, and then you come out with wings. And inside that chrysalis is a beautiful, magical, I guess, alchemy, where the butterfly dissolves, right? And somehow the cells, Mother Nature, puts it back together again, and it comes out with wings. And that process of unlearning and becoming is really important. I often joke that if I had known coaching was, and this work required so much inner work, I think I would have put it off to much later in life. Well,
right.
No, that's sticky soft stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd never heard of transformation as a process of unbecoming or deconditioning until I stepped into the work. But thank goodness I, you know, studied with really incredible teachers who could clearly show you, this is when we're teaching, this is when we're mentoring, and this is when we're coaching. And believe it or not, it's in the health and wellness space. It was just incredibly powerful. I wish I had those skills as a business leader. The other analogy that I was introduced to recently was around a lobster molting or shedding, where the lobster has to break out of its shell. And when it breaks out of its shell, it is vulnerable, right? So it has to be in retreat. So it's just becoming a bigger, healthier lobster, but it goes through a lot of pain. right? As one can imagine, to bust out of that shell. So you're still a lobster, just growing. And to then have those analogies to help clients sort of self-identify, like, you know, are you leveling up? Are you strengthening, you know, or is this something that is more significant than a transition?
That's really good.
Yeah. And then for fun, I like to, you know, tell my clients sometimes that, well, sometimes we're just a squirrel. We don't know. We're just like,
squirrel.
Isn't that transformation? It's just a squirrel is like running around.
No, I feel relate to that at times.
Yeah.
Well, we've been going for a little while, but I want to make sure, is there anything that we haven't talked about yourself, about what you do as a leadership coach, or just maybe even another analogy you want to share as we wrap things up?
Maybe a few isms where an answer to the question of, you know, why am I still here? I know it's very popular for people to find your why, but sometimes that question can really put you down some dark rabbit holes or like places of stress. You know, because why inevitably accidentally puts you in a space of comparison. So I would offer up the what questions to guide one's leadership journey. And part of the what a leader can do at any stage in their practice of leadership, right? Because leadership is a choice, not a title, is first rest to rise. It's an integrity thing, right? If you are hangry, you are just not in a good place to inspire people. Right? If your mind is tired, you will make poor decisions. If your heart is heavy, you have no space for anyone else. And if you forgot to play, your spirit is not alive. So rest to rise, to reconnect to your power is vital and number one. It's really taking that stand for a mindful me first. And when you've done some work to reintegrate your body, your heart, your mind, your spirit, then rise for love. In the work you do, work is the exchange or work is the creation of value for oneself and others. So friendship is work. Laundry is work. Doesn't directly pay the bills, but it's important. So you can go do stuff that pays the bills. But when you rise for love, then it comes from a healthy inside out place that then will generate good business, which is the exchange of value between humans. Right? Not pets. You know, my cats couldn't care less if I gave them a dollar. They just want hugs and food. Right?
Yeah.
So rising for love in your work or purpose is then a real good, like, attractor for community. Where then as you rise with community, recognizing that you are special and so are they, and it one doesn't cancel out the other, then together you can do great things together. And so resting to rise, rising for love in your work, and rising with community is what I'd love to leave the listeners of the podcast, and especially the young leaders in the mix.
That's good. So you said rest to rise, rise to love, and then what was the last one?
Rest to rise, rise for love.
Rise for love.
And rise with community.
Rise with community. I love that. That's really good. Good. How can the listeners stay in touch with you? What's the best way? Either socials, website, any of that?
Yeah, I'd love to hear from listeners on LinkedIn. I am the Lynn Wong, THELYNNWONG on LinkedIn. And so they're welcome to follow me there. Or if they'd like to leave a note and tell me they heard me speak on Incredipol, I'd love to make a connection.
Absolutely. Well, Lynn, your passion is so eminent through this conversation. And even what you shared, like just the vulnerability of the burnout you experience, I think like it definitely stuck to me. And I know it will stick to the listeners as well to look for those signs. And as much as possible, if we can not get there, and with the simple things that you mentioned, I say simple, but not necessarily easy. The simple things are not usually easy. They're the things we often overlook because we're like, oh, it can't make that much of a difference because it's simple. But it's those things that you, when you add them up, coming back to just drinking water and making sure that you are being intentional with the the time you're spending on things. I don't think we talked about that specifically, but we need to make sure that we're prioritizing ourselves in a sense. Because I know for myself, as I say, I'm a recovering people pleaser, and I know that about myself. And so I need to be intentional about making sure that I'm good first. Because if I'm not good, then it's just going to come out that I'm not going to help anyone.
Yes, it's a matter of integrity. And so that personal leadership is so fundamental. And I wish this information was more easily available, 20 years ago, but I'm super grateful it's available now. So it's never too late for anyone who feels that they're on the older side, and never too young to start.
Never too late, never too young to start. That's good. Yeah, for the listeners, I know you got something from Lynn's story. Definitely reach out to her directly or drop a link somewhere wherever you're watching, if you're watching this or if you're listening. Thanks for listening as well. But I would say what you really started off with is doing that inner listening and listening deeply as well. That integrity part is huge. The personal leadership is huge. You can do these things. You can truly be incredible.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time. And be incredible. Incredible.
Have you enjoyed listening to the Incredipaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some Incredipaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to incredipaw.org/merch, incredipaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your Incredipaw look.